Well, today we begin a sermon series on Abram. Abram, who's the guy who would eventually became known as Abraham. And he is a well-known name and a well-known character in Judaism. Of course, traces its faith and history back to Abraham and beyond. Perhaps you already know this, but Muslims believe that Abraham was the first Muslim. And they hold him in high regard, and they regard Abraham as one of the patriarchs, just like us. And they believe that he became the father of both the Jewish and Arab nations through Isaac and Ishmael. And many Muslim children are named Ibrahim. Actually, they begin it with an I instead of an A, but it refers to the same patriarch. And they call many of their children after the prophet Abraham. Now today you'll hear some of the Muslim leaders suggest that the Jews have no claim to the land known as Palestine. When you think about it, it's somewhat ironic because since Abraham was called to leave his homeland and migrate to Canaan, where he eventually had the two children, Isaac and Ishmael, both the Muslims and the Jews could argue that they have a historical right to the land of Palestine. Christianity sees in the life of Abraham many things that point forward prophetically to the coming of Christ and to the sacrifice that would one day be made for our sins. So when we think about it, a huge percentage of the world's population, each of the world's three monolithic religions trace their roots back to Abraham. So it would seem appropriate that believers, including you and I, would study the scriptures and become knowledgeable about this patriarch called Abraham. He would become known as a man of faith. He would become known as someone who followed the leading of the Lord. And we would ask ourselves the question, do we follow in his steps? Are we known for being a people of faith? And are we known for following the Lord wherever he would lead us? Now, our first text is found in Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to begin to read at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. Lord, would you add a blessing to the reading of your word today? We once again welcome the ministry of your Holy Spirit to make it alive in our hearts and in our minds. As we read and study it together, may your Spirit impress on us individually exactly what you would have us to hear and what you would have us to learn about Abram. You know, one of the most memorable stages or memorable milestones of parenthood is anticipating when the new baby will take his or her first steps. Many of you have been down that road on more than one occasion. Usually those first steps can be quite precarious. There's no certainty as to where the next step will lead or whether the baby will even get to the next step at that early stage. And the baby's first steps usually make for many memorable Kodak moments for those of us old enough to remember the word Kodak. The word step and the phrase stepping out are often used to describe significant course changes in the journey of one's life All of us at one time or another are called to make major decisions, life-changing decisions, courageous decisions, stepping out into another direction. Some of you perhaps have lived here in Chesley or the area all your lives. You've never had that experience of being asked to relocate to a different part of the country or to a different country. But maybe you've had experiences of a similar magnitude where you've had to make a change in occupation or so on and so forth. Stepping out, acting on faith, is part of God's call to us as believers. When it comes to the Christian faith, we often hear it said that the hardest step to take is the very first one. Our first step of faith, and a very hard one for many, is the decision to respond to the call to repent, to ask forgiveness, and to ask Jesus to become our Savior and our Lord. I'm sure many of you would have the same kind of story. As a child, I heard the gospel many times. I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit and heard the pastor or the evangelist's invitation to come to the altar and receive Christ. But time after time, I was afraid to take that first step. What would my friends think? What would I have to give up? So the enemy would bring lots of thoughts to my mind to discourage me from taking that first step and from being obedient to the Holy Spirit's call. You know, not much has changed in this regard. Many hear the call. They hear it through reading their Bibles. They hear it through the preaching or the teaching of the Word. Maybe they have never been to church, but hear the gospel on TV. They hear it from Christian relatives, co-workers or classmates. They hear it from the Holy Spirit urging them to take the first step, but they fail to do so. And many have put off taking the first step time after time, thinking they have lots of time to think it through more carefully. Time to live the way they want to live. And unfortunately, many have passed from this life to the next life, still thinking they had more time. And they fail to develop that personal relationship with Christ and are without the hope of heaven and eternal life. And so I would trust this morning that everyone here has responded to that call of the Holy Spirit, has taken the first step, asked forgiveness, placed their faith in the Son of God, his sacrifice on Calvary, and pledged to live the remainder of their lives for him. Now, if we were asked to characterize Adam's life and his faith journey, I would suggest to you that two of the words that would be part of any comprehensive answer would be the words courageous and the word obedience. Courageous obedience. And as we will see a little further on, not in today's session, but maybe another word that would creep into that description would be the word disobedience. Now, the Muslims that we just mentioned a moment ago, they believe that the patriarchs are without fault. If you're sharing with a Muslim friend and you happen to suggest something about David's life and some of the problems that he had, the patriarchs were perfect. They were without fault. But as we read the scriptures concerning Abraham and David and many of the others, we see that they are very much imperfect humans, just like you and I. If we look carefully, whether we're young or old, we can see a reflection of our own lives in the life of Abram. At times he was obedient, at other times partially obedient, and at other times disobedient. He is very much like you and I, a man walking life's journey one step at a time, stepping out as the Lord laid direction in his heart. We can identify with his story. At times we find obedience relatively easy. At other times we struggle with the Lord's call on our lives and his expectations for us. Abraham's story, his journey of faith, opens with a challenge to take a major, courageous step. God apparently, without sort of a hint or warning, tells him to go to the land that I will show you. We just read it in chapter 12, verse 1. That takes some courage to just drop everything and do what the Lord is calling you to do. Last week we remembered the tragic events of 9/11, and perhaps you're familiar with the story of Todd Beamer. Todd was on United Airlines Flight 93 from Newark to San Francisco. And eventually people on board of his flight became aware that their plane had been hijacked. Other planes had crashed into the Twin Towers, and their plane was now probably headed for a similar destruction. Somehow in the course of events, Todd ended up talking with Lisa, who was an airline communications specialist. And they ended that conversation by saying the Lord's Prayer together and the 23rd Psalm. And then Todd made a very courageous decision. He and others would try to overpower the hijackers and at least avoid the tragedy of another crash into the Twin Towers or to the Pentagon. At this point, his future was unknown. Certainly success in terms of saving the plane he was on was very unlikely. But with the words which have become somewhat famous now, "Let's roll," he and several others took a very courageous decision, and they did their best. Well, we know the rest of the story. Their plane crashed in a Pennsylvania field, but their courageous actions saved the lives of many others. Now, as we read these verses that we covered a few minutes ago, it's easy to quickly gloss over the magnitude of the challenge that was presented to Abraham. Remember, Abraham is 75 years old. Some of us can identify with that. By the time people have lived to be 75 years old in their home and country, living among their relatives and neighbors, they tend to be well-rooted, right? Well-rooted. And God is asking him to follow him to a place he has never been. God is asking him to leave behind his relatives and all things familiar to him and obediently step out into the unknown. There's no indication. God doesn't say, "Well, someday you'll be back." You know, Connie and I have lived in 5 or 6 countries, depending on how you call Quebec. And, you know, it's one thing to go on a mission trip and to experience the hardships that's part of the third world country and to know that you're end is coming, in the sense that you're on a 2 or 3 week trip and you're going to be back home in your comfortable surroundings. It's even somewhat like that, and you go to live in a foreign country and work for a while, such as we did, and you know that, well, I may be here a year, I may be here 2 years, I may be here 3 years or 4 years, but I know that sometime, unless something tragic happens, we'll be home again. It's quite another thing when we think about Abraham to be asked to leave, not knowing where you're going, with no promise that he would ever return, leaving behind his family and his loved ones. I think if you were like me, you would want a little more information. When we left, we were thinking about relocating to Saudi Arabia, we had an indoctrination course, and we asked a lot of questions. And we were told a lot of different things about the culture and what living would be like and so on and so forth. Abraham didn't get the indoctrination course. God just said, "Follow me." If I were in Abraham's shoes, I'd be saying, "God, this is a pretty serious ask that you're making. Can you fill me in with just at least a little detail?" We don't have any detail as to how God actually spoke to Abraham. It could have been with an audible voice. It could have been just the Spirit prompting him and leading him, such as Derwin has shared in his experience. But in any case, for Abraham to step out in courageous obedience to God's call, he must have been sure that it was indeed the will of God for his life. And so there are first four things that I would like you to remember about Abraham and his story are the following. First, Abraham exuded remarkable courage to follow God into the unknown and the uncomfortable. Unknown and uncomfortable. Secondly, Abraham demonstrated remarkable faith in God and in his ability to lead, to guide, and protect. And thirdly, Abraham demonstrated unwavering obedience to God's call on his life. Many years later, a man named William Carey, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the name, he followed a path with similar difficulties and challenges to that of Abraham. He left his home and livelihood to take the gospel to India, a land that was not particularly well known at that point in history. And his path was not easy. His church at that time was simply not committed to missions. When he made his application, if you will, or told his leaders of his desire to take the gospel to India, he was told by one of the congregation that if God wanted the heathen to be saved, God would look after it. Not a lot of support there. Abraham responded, financial support was hard to come by, but Carey believed that God had called him to a foreign land with a purpose, and so he pressed on. After finally arriving, Carey realized that he had grossly underestimated what it would cost to live in India, and his early years were miserable. Carey was forced to move his family repeatedly as he sought employment that could sustain them. Illness racked the family and loneliness and regret set in. At one stage he wrote this, "I'm in a strange land, no Christian friend, a large family and nothing to supply their wants." But at the end of that he also wrote, "Well, I have God and his word is sure. Nothing left but to hold on to what God had placed in his heart." And his motto became Animo e Fide in the Latin, which means by courage and faith. By courage and faith. And by exercising that courage and exercising that faith, William Carey eventually became credited with being a father to the modern missionary movement. And Carey's life was a powerful example of courage and faith, stepping out into the plan God had envisaged for him. And fourthly, remember I said there was four things I wanted you to remember. God calls and uses seniors. Are you getting a little bit scared here? What if God called you to, you know, pick up and move to Afghanistan? I think you'd be a little bit concerned. You might say, "God, I need a little more detail." Abraham responded to God's call at 75. Moses confronted Pharaoh. Remember that confrontation? Moses confronts Pharaoh when he's 80 years old. And he led the children of Israel until he died at 120. God uses people in amazing ways. This week we received word that of a man that I had growing up when I was a child, he was an adult, had passed on. And I'm not just too sure how old he was when he passed on, and I was not able to find the obituary today, but I know that he's over 100. The things that I remember about Harold and his wife, Winnie, were her courageous faith. Courageous faith. Serving. Serving the church. Serving their Lord. Every Sunday, without fail, when it was time to start the service, Winnie would head to the piano, and she played that piano every Sunday that I can remember all the years of my childhood. When one of our pastors decided he was leaving that pastor and God had called him into another area of ministry, and he needed a car, Harold and Winnie bought him a car. Not because they were wealthy, they were, you know, mixed 100-acre farmers like the rest of us, kind of eking out a living. But God just called on them to serve. And so for 100 years and more, they were servants of their God and their King. Courageous, obedient faith. So the 75-year-old Abraham responds in courageous faith to this call, a first step in the beginning of one of the great narratives of the Bible. But his subsequent steps do not get easier. His story teaches us something about the profoundness of a life of faith. His story tells us that the life of faith is a journey made up of first steps. While each of these steps brings us closer to the fulfillment of God's promises and plans for us, they don't necessarily lead us further away from the challenges and struggles involved with moving ahead. Walking with the Lord step by step through life's journey is a series of repeated steps, each challenging our commitment to obedience. Let me ask you a question in the middle of all this. Have you thought about the next step? Have you thought about the next step? You know, there's some practical things that we all need to think about in terms of the next step. You know, sometimes we're in a position where maybe we're farming 200 or 300 acres or 400 acres and somebody says, well, what's the next step? And sometimes the realization is hard to admit that you can't do this forever. And God doesn't just, you know, you can't find the word retire in the scripture, right? It's just not there. And instead of thinking about retiring, we need to be thinking about what is God's next step for me? When I can no longer do what he's asking me to do right now, and that, of course, presumes that you're walking in faith and obedience like Abraham and doing what he's called you to do. Are you praying, God, give me the next step? Where do you want me to serve next when this particular assignment that you've given me is no longer where you want me to be? That's a prayer we all should be praying. Just imagine for a moment receiving the instruction that the 75-year-old Abraham received. We don't have any details about how God spoke to him. We're simply told that God tells him to go. And it's easy to see that Abraham was confident that what he heard was the voice of God. And that's so important. I get nervous when I hear people say, and God spoke to me and said. I believe that we're led by the Holy Spirit. But I believe it's serious business, and we really need to have our spiritual ears to the ground. And sometimes if we're not sure, in fact, all times when we're not sure, we need the affirmation, first of all, from the Word. And secondly, from other trusted believers that we can share what God is laying on our heart and ask for them to pray with us and ask for confirmation of the direction that God is asking us to take. Abraham was a grown man. He was married and probably very accustomed to living where he had been born and raised. But God taps him on the shoulder and says, it's time to move on. It's time for the next step. It's time for you to follow me to a new place on your life's journey. Now, at this point in time, we might want to ask, why does God step into people's lives and tell them it's time to move on? Well, there could be a number of reasons. But if we look at the circumstances around Abram's life at this point in time when God taps him on the shoulder, we know that he was living with his father's family, his father's tribe, if you will, and this was a very common way to live your life in that culture, and still is in the Middle East culture. This was the normal way to live your life in that culture. You're born into a family. You grow up in that family. You marry an extended family member, such as a cousin, and so you continue to build the family or to build the tribe. So as this story unfolds, we find that Abram is living in Ur of the Chaldees, which is another name for Babylon. And Babylon throughout Scripture, right through to Revelation, is symbolic of sin and a sinful nation and of a sinful place to live. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, we read this about Abraham's family. Joshua said to the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they worshipped other gods." So we learn that Abram's father, Terah, and presumably all of his tribe were idolaters. The word simply says they worshipped other gods. And so I would suggest that there are at least two reasons for God's call to Abraham to move on, and maybe others that we are not privileged to know. The first reason that God calls Abraham to get up and leave home and follow God's plan was because he was calling him out of an idol worship culture, a sinful environment that would be influential in preventing him from coming to a relationship with the one and true God and worshiping him alone. So God taps him on the shoulder and says, "Abram, come follow me. I have a different lifestyle for you. Step out of this sinful, idolatrous culture and come walk and live with me. Come with me to Canaan." Canaan was a real place, but it is also symbolic. Throughout Scripture, it is portrayed as the promised land, the land where God would dwell in relationship with his people. And so God says to Abraham, "Leave sinful Babylon and come with me to Canaan." And spiritually speaking, God may be well saying similar things to people today. There's no doubt that we're surrounded by a sinful culture with substantial power to influence and to draw us away from God and living in his presence. And so I think the Holy Spirit many times would be tapping us on the shoulder and saying, "Come out from that sinful lifestyle that is all around you. Find forgiveness for your sin. Come walk with me and live for me." And as we said earlier, some respond to that tap on the shoulder with obedience and others refuse because they're comfortable with their surroundings. They're afraid to take that step of faith, and so they remain in their sinful surroundings and in their personal sin, which the Lord longs to forgive. And of course, the second reason that God is telling Abraham that it's time to move on is because God has plans and purposes for Abraham. Now, we may not ever experience the type of dramatic call that Abraham received or that William Carey received, but the principles we see in Abraham's life remain true. God calls his people to live close to him, to leave behind sinful environment, and to be open and determined to accomplish the plans that he has for us. So I want to leave you with five key thoughts. Listen, listen, listen for your call to the next step. Secondly, respond to that call. If God is calling you to a next step, regardless of where it is or what it is, nothing could be more important in your life. Nothing could be more critical to your spiritual happiness and well-being than responding to God's call on your life to your next step. Thirdly, 30. Leave the sinful influences behind. I think there's lots of indications that it's easy for us to become entrapped in the sinful habits and sinful attitudes of the world around us. And I think God is calling his people out of that, calling us to live for him, to set ourselves free from all of those entrapments that are dragging us down. And so lastly, live in the place and live in the plans in which he is calling you to. Live in the place and in the plans that God is calling you to. The first step for Abraham was a courageous, obedient step. He demonstrated a willingness to leave all behind in pursuit of obedience to the Lord's call in his life. Can we say that we're in that position, seeing God's plans and purposes for us as a priority that rises above all else? And do we have the courageous faith to take that first step when we're called to go? Lord, we thank you for your word today. At times it's tough and challenging. And in spite of the challenge, you call us to be ready to step out, to take that next step, to walk with you, to walk into your plans and purposes for our lives as you call us to do. I pray for your people today that they might hear your voice. They might be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If they're in doubt about what God is calling them to do, that they would seek your word, that they would call others around them to pray with them, to seek that affirmation of your will and purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you still call us, that you still use us. Bless your people as they decide to act in courageous faith. Amen.
Amen.